Well, thank you for joining today at CKUT 90.3. Janine, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about the Victoria Street News.
Sure, yeah. The Street News, I founded in 2004. Victoria did not have a newspaper at that time, although they had had for a few short years in the late 90s, there was a newspaper called The Red Zone, and I went to a workshop where a lot of people were talking about the need for more alternative media, and I'd sort of just graduated from university, and I thought, maybe that's something I could do, so I did a bit of research. And basically started this thing, just sort of thought, well, I'll give this a try and see what happens. And then 10 years later, it's sort of been, it's been kind of month to month, year to year. I set up a nonprofit in the beginning and was able to get small amounts of grant money, and then was able to supplement that income with some other work that I do, looking after pets when people are away. It's been 10 great years. We built a small family of vendors. Vendors would come and go, and these are people who are mostly on disability pensions or seniors pensions, so they're not really employable in the traditional sense, I guess, in the bigger society. But selling the newspaper was a way to provide a dignified income for them, something that they could do with pride and endeavor. And I also worked to sort of nurture a small community of writers. So I really reached out to the street community as often as I could and found some really inspiring and wonderful writers who wrote from their own perspective. You know, this is what it's like. This is what it's like to live in poverty, or this is what it's like to be homeless. And these are some of the solutions that we have come up with, as a street population. The Street News was a very sort of gritty grassroots newspaper for these 10 years. And I'm happy to announce that we're going to be turning the whole project over to Vancouver's Megaphone magazine, which is also a very inspiring independent media that's very successful in Vancouver. And so they're going to be expanding into our territory on the 20th of June.
Well, I was wondering if you could touch a little bit what's going to be happening to the vendors and the collective writers that you nurtured, and even the board members. Are they still going to be with you, or with the projects that you're working on, or?
Yeah, for sure. Well, the vendors were my first concern, when I realized that I just couldn't sustain this project anymore and that it was time to do something different. I had options. I could either just shut it down, or I could hand it over to someone else to take, or I think I made the best solution. I didn't want to just shut it down and abandon everybody, of course. I didn't really want to sort of turn it over to someone else and then, potentially watch it become something that I never intended it to be. I wanted it to remain in the people's memory for the project that it was. So I contacted the Megaphone, and they were very happy, as I mentioned, to come on over here. I've known Sean Condon, their executive director, for many years. And so he assured me that, the vendors are going to be well taken care of. They actually have a vendor coordinator who's been over here a couple of times already to meet with the vendors. And so they're going to actually get a newspaper now every 2 weeks rather than every month. I was only able to produce every month. So they're better off, actually. It's going to work out really well for them. The Megaphone is going to expand to include content from Victoria, so we're not really sure what that's going to look like yet. I have met also with their copy editor, and she's invited me to write sort of an introductory article for the launch on the 20th. But beyond that, she is interested in knowing who the writers are over here. And so we'll just see how that goes. I think when I talk to the writers, we've sort of become friends over the years, and they really mostly just appreciate having had the opportunity. Personally, I have sort of ideas in my head about perhaps somehow creating writing workshops and getting blogs going and that kind of thing too, because I really believe, you know, that everybody has a story and that we all have the right to tell our story, and certainly we have the technology to be able to do that. So I'm maintaining the board of directors. I've contacted them as well, and they are sort of with me to carry on towards the next project. And when I set up the Victoria Street, or the Bread and Roses Collective, which is the nonprofit organization, I made it broad enough so that it could encompass other projects. So I'm looking sort of at creative ways of perhaps now taking that nonprofit and, you know, working with the street community perhaps in different ways. Like I say, if I can get the funding and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's a change, it's a transition, but I feel that it's a friendly change and that we're all going to be better off. You know, the expansion of the Megaphone, Kate, I think is going to provide Victoria with a better understanding of what's going on in Vancouver's downtown east side. And I think it's really important that we know what's happening over there, because there's this huge gentrification going on, and the homeless people or the street people or the low-income people in Vancouver's east side are just getting kind of pushed out of their own community. And then Vancouver's going to have an opportunity to have a look at us and see that Victoria is more than just sort of this tourist city of gardens that we have. You know, we have our own issues here as well. Mm-hmm. So sad that the street news is going, but we're sort of trying to make the transition as easy as possible.
Mm-hmm. But what about the government? Are they helping out currently with Megaphone? Is there any funding or corporate involvement supports?
Oh, the government. Yeah, the government. Christy Clark's government. I don't know. I sort of gave up trying to get any assistance from the government a long time ago. I've sort of reached the conclusion that we just need to get on with the business of building our communities.
Would it be possible if you can talk about, you mentioned blogs. Now, there's one going on. It's, I believe, radio setting type blog. It's called Wind of Changes. And also you have one of your own called My Own, A Room of My Own, excuse me. Are they still running? Are they still operating? And what was the idea behind it?
Oh, yeah, okay, sure. Yeah, those are just sort of personal blogs. The Winds of Change is a radio program that I do at CFUV in Victoria. So it's a similar station to CKUT. And I've been doing that about 10 years. And the Winds of Change is a program that focuses on peace and justice and environment. So it's a broad spectrum. And I interview all kinds of really interesting people who are working for progressive change or trying to stop the destruction of wilderness or that sort of thing. And it airs every other Thursday.
Is there an upcoming event or things that we should keep our eyes on?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I've got a few different ideas for my own personal self next, as I sort of wrap up the street news. You know, the Megaphone is a different operation. I you know, if they contact me and say, hey, you know, we need an article from Victoria for this particular issue, I'm happy to be a writer for them. But as far as the Megaphone goes, it's you know, they function out of the downtown east side. So, you know, I'm looking at different opportunities for myself personally, perhaps some freelance writing, maybe some radio projects. You know, like I said, I like the Vancouver also, one thing they do through the Megaphone is they do these writing workshops and journalism workshops for the street community so that people can, you know, learn how to craft their story in a way that people will want to pick up and read it, sort of thing. Because like I say, I think we all have stories. And and the other thing they have is the journalism workshops, which is about kind of media literacy, you know, looking at the sort of dominant corporate or state media and, you know, looking at the way stories are presented or not presented in those larger media ways, and kind of comparing that to our own experience of what the story is, or, you know, so, you know, sort of critiquing media. The other thing that apparently they do is they help people with the situation that happens when suddenly you have a microphone in front of your face and a reporter asking you questions, which sometimes happens to poor people or you know, marginalized people living in other communities. And so how to kind of deal with the media. So how to be the media, how to critique the media, how to deal with the bigger media when it comes to you. So I'm sort of thinking that those would be interesting workshops for us to have in Victoria. Now, whether or not I can make that happen, I don't know. But I feel like, you know, I have 10 good years of karma here. So I'm hoping that...
a good
that,
karma.
Well, I hope so, yeah, you know. And I really enjoy working with the street community. I feel like there's a real sense of camaraderie and purpose there, mm-hmm. and that, like I say, we all deserve to be heard, and our experiences are valuable, and I think our motto around here is nothing about us without us, so mm-hmm. the idea that we should be able to express ourselves and our own experiences, and we have our own solutions, that if only we could be invited to the tables, you know, maybe we could actually sort through all this and really end the poverty and homelessness.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for your time and getting in touch with us. On behalf of CKUT, I would like to say thank you. Is there anything that you would like to tell our audience? Anything you would like to share with us?
Thank you so much, Kate and CKUT. It was really great to meet some of you guys at the radio conference recently. If people in the eastern part of our country haven't heard, there's this huge industrialization project scheduled for northern British Columbia, and there's a lot of resistance. A lot of environmentalists are working alongside our Indigenous allies, and there's a camp set up right in the pathway of the Enbridge and other pipelines that they want to build that would just open up the north, Canada's north, to enormous industrialization and just change the place forever. So if people want to check that out, I really invite you to. It's called the Unistoten Camp. So it's Unistoten is the camp, and it's on unceded indigenous land, and it's organized by Indigenous people. And it's really the most positive, progressive thing going on to stop the destruction of our wilderness here.
On behalf of CKUT 90.3, thank you for your time.